Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. The draw was held this week for the African Nations Championship, or CHAN. Our VOA football fans will remember this 16-team tournament is made up of African players competing in their domestic leagues. For example, a Cameroonian player is eligible to play for Cameroon only if he's playing for a Cameroonian club. The Cameroonians, by the way, will host the CHAN competition, which kicks off April 4th in Yaoundé. Let's take a look at the four groups for CHAN 2020. Group A has host Cameroon, Mali, Burkina Faso, and Zimbabwe. Group B features Libya, Niger, and the two Congos, Congo Brazzaville and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Group C has defending champion Morocco, Rwanda, Togo, and Uganda. And Group D has Zambia, Guinea, Namibia, and Tanzania. The head coach of the Ugandan Cranes, Jonathan McKinstry, says he's quite familiar with the teams in Group C, especially Rwanda's Amavubi, who he guided just a few years ago. Magume Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
Alongside tournament debutants Togo, Rwanda, and defending champions Morocco, Coach McKinstry knows it won't be a simple task for the Uganda Cranes to go past group stages for the first time.
Rwanda, we know them very well. I know them very well. A lot of the boys who we'll be playing against, you know, I gave their debut to for the Amavubi. So we look forward to that in the opening game. And then the champions Morocco. So it's a very difficult test, the Moroccan test, in our final game. But we go into the tournament confident. We believe it's a group that we can qualify from. That's our big target. And if we can make it into the quarterfinals, then really the tournament can all open up.
McKinstry guided Rwanda's national team, Amavubi Stars, to reach the quarterfinals at the 2016 Rwanda CHAN Finals after being eliminated by eventual winners DR Congo. Peter Otai, a Ugandan sports reporter, says countries with the best domestic leagues are the ones more likely to perform well at the finals, meant for only players that feature in domestic leagues. He says Morocco is the team to beat in Group C.
Morocco have a very, very good domestic league. Wydad Casablanca, to talk about the likes of Raja, Wydad Raja, very good teams. I think most of the footballers in that team, in the national team, will actually come from those two clubs. So comparison with the others, I think Uganda's domestic league comes a little bit closer. Okay, it's a little bit far from the Moroccan league, so I'll go with Morocco 1, Uganda League 2, I'll go with the Togo national side at number 3, and Rwanda at number 4.
Fiona Namiro, commonly known in South Africa as Fifi Pink, has covered football in Tanzania and other African countries. She says Tanzania's Taifa Stars could be a surprise team of the tournament.
Look at their players. The Tanzanian players are moving at a terrible speed. 1-2 years, different league, and they're doing something fine. But when you look at it, their opponents, look at Guinea. They have been there before. Guinea are hard. The physical aspect of the game, the African nature of the game is always brought to them. So it will not be a walkover or a bed of roses, but any team that does right.
Amir Masare, a sports reporter in Tanzania, says he believes Tanzania, though underdogs in Group D, alongside Zambia, Namibia and Guinea, would do better.
We believe that Tanzania can do something because they have been together for a long time in the national team, in different competitions. Most of Tanzania national team, best player in Tanzania, just only two, Mbwana Samata and Simon Msuva, who are playing abroad. So you can see we have a good team which can do something.
All sports analysts here say the tournament is an opportunity for local players to show their worth, attract suitors for European football, or a call-up for their senior national teams. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Elsewhere, Zambia's new head coach, Milutin Micho Sredovic, is reflecting on his 20 years of guiding teams in African football. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Micho said he arrived in Zambia after a bitter setback that he hopes to overcome with Chipolopolo.
I came to Zambia for the first time, I'm mentioning this to the media, with the personal wound that occurred to me. You know, in qualification for the World Cup Russia 2018, I was coaching Uganda and we have stood very well just behind Egypt, ready to beat them and to qualify ahead of Ghana. And then it happened that I went to Orlando Pirates. That is an open wound that stands inside me, that I have not gone to the World Cup with the team. Now, coming to Zambia, I want to heal that wound. I also want to heal the souls of all the Zambians by making extremely competitive team that will match by match, that will day by day grow up football-wise as a unit, every single individual giving his best for his nation, so that we are making a competitive team that will not be just participant in World Cup qualifiers and Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, but to really be extremely competitive team that is looking for the highest ambition of qualifying for the biggest competition. In that regard, I have nothing else to add except sleepless nights and hard working days are ahead of us, and they have already happened before, behind us, having in mind that I assume the office of being in the holy place for Zambians, being the head coach of Chipolopolo, is not pressure, but huge responsibility, because I know that I carry 17 million of Zambians at home and in diaspora away, dreams on my shoulders. And I will do anything possible in order to make Zambians proud of their national team, Chipolopolo.
You have a great deal of experience coaching in different parts of the continent, from Cape to Cairo. Why do you have such a love affair with Africa?
I came to Zambia. I have not come alone. I have come with a network of friends that in the last 20 years I'm building as witness of time in African football. I have put everything at stake. 19 years of football where I have won 16 major trophies. I had qualification to the major tournaments with respective teams. I had so many hundreds of players helping to become the professionals. And practically, I am a person that has been infected by virus of loving, respecting and living for African football, and as a search for the last 20 years working in 9 countries, I really give my the best together with other African football stakeholders as to put African football where it belongs. Very important is that in a way we need to find a way where we are all what at present Zambia has and what rest of African countries have to put in dream of any person loving football in Africa, that one day African team not only reach beyond semi-finals, but reach the finals and also win the World Cup. This is dream of dreams. I'm servant and soldier of African football for the last 20 years. It's exactly today, 16th of February, that I have reached to African continent. I got affected and infected by that virus of loving African football, and I will still stay firmly together with my brothers and sisters in African football to love the game, to live for the game, and serve the game in the best possible way, selflessly.
That's Milutin Micho Sredovic, the head coach of Zambia's national football team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolopolo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
The Lions of Teranga from Senegal remain the highest-ranked team in African football, according to FIFA, the sports world governing body. Joining us now with that story and more African football news is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Senegal remain at the summit of African football with 155 points, which places them in 20th position in the world, while the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia are second and ranked 27th in the world. Nigeria remained unmoved at number 31 in the world and are now Africa's third best nation, while Algeria and Morocco complete the top five in that order. The Tunisian Football Federation on Thursday submitted their bid to host the final of the 2019-2020 CAF Champions League. The bid was submitted on deadline day for applications as Tunisia will be facing competition from Morocco and Rwanda. Morocco had applied on Wednesday to host both the CAF Champions League and the Confederations Cup Finals. It is noteworthy that the format of the CAF Champions League final has changed this season, where the winner is decided through only one game. The final is set to take place on the 29th of May, as the venue for the game is yet to be determined by CAF. The poor state of the playing surfaces in most African countries has in turn had a negative impact on the quality of football played on the continent. It's against the background that the Federation of Uganda Football Association, in partnership with UEFA, has sought the services of Philip Fairfield to grow capacity in the realm of pitch management and maintenance. Fairfield is currently in the process of visiting 17 stadia dotting the country before his working visit ends on Sunday.
So the purpose of the visits are to do an assessment each football pitch that we come to see which level and standard the playing surface is at the moment. The testing that we do on each visit is based to a UEFA standard, so we can then receive some data from the pitch to see where we're at and where we need to go, and also where the pitch has been and how we can help further improve the development of the pitches in Uganda.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
My name is Jean Seninde with Queen's Park Rangers Women and the Uganda National Team. Listen to Sunny Side of Sport with Voice of America.
The Voice of America.
Now let's go to Los Angeles, California, where about 20,000 people are expected to attend the public memorial service on Monday for basketball legend Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. The ceremony will be held at the Staples Center Arena, home court of the Los Angeles Lakers, which some fans have described as the house that Kobe built because of Kobe's many years of starring there for the Lakers. Bryant's fans all over the world still mourn his sudden and tragic death last month. But the fans in Los Angeles have a special connection to Kobe. In this report prepared by Gandhira Pratama, my VOA colleague Gwen Uten tells us many fans are visiting some famous citywide images of the star.
Murals that depict Kobe Bryant started appearing all over Los Angeles, California, following the legendary basketball player's sudden passing in January. Many of the works include Kobe's 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, who, along with seven others, died with him in a helicopter crash. These murals became a place for fans like Deanna Ortega to gather, grieve, and reminisce.
We're here just to, you know, show love for Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna, and just wanted to come to L.A. and just show some love and take a picture of Kobe Bryant's mural right here.
One such work can be found in the La Brea neighborhood, a mural created by L.A.-based street artist Thierry Mr. Brainwash Guetta, features newspaper articles highlighting Bryant's career accomplishments and some of his iconic and inspiring quotes. And the tribute allows fans like Jolynn and Jason to leave their mark on the artwork with messages for their fallen hero.
Because he was also a legend for everyone, not only in the game for basketball, but for everyone in their life. He inspired everyone to push themselves to do their best. So in my opinion, I really think that having murals of Kobe Bryant and Gigi is honestly like something everyone would remember.
He was like an icon, you know, like real good basketball player, you know, like family man. You just see how he is with his kids, and he just always had that positive attitude, and just, you know, he was just idolized. He was one of my favorite basketball players growing up, him and Michael Jordan.
Another mural can be found in Melrose outside a popular streetwear store called Shoe Palace, where store manager Ruben Meniane says visitors are encouraged to pen personal tributes to the Lakers star.
We started when we heard of the passing. We saw a lot of people started to show up, bring some flowers and some memorabilia, and wanting to put notes. So I took out some notepads, started writing a few, give my employees and a platform for everybody to want. So we had a bunch of pens, marker, post-it notes so people could leave a mark, remember Kobe, the good moments, the bad moments, what Kobe meant to them.
Mural artist J.C. Rowe says the artwork he created 4 years ago is even more important to the community with the basketball legend's passing.
I think it's something special and something unique about the paper being fragile, and that the messages on each note is so meaningful. Like, I feel like maybe we all found out that life is both fragile and meaningful.
Kobe Bryant and his daughter were buried earlier this month in a private ceremony near the family's Southern California home. A public memorial is scheduled to take place on Monday. Our thanks to Gandhira Pratama in Los Angeles for this report. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers outlasted the visiting Brooklyn Nets in overtime. We'll hear from Embiid in this report from the AP's Michael Luongo in Philadelphia.
The 76ers got a pair of free throws from Joel Embiid at the end of regulation and key baskets by Alec Burks in the overtime for a 112-104 win over the Nets. Brooklyn used an 8-0 run, taking a 101-95 lead. The Sixers battled back and tied the game on Embiid's free throws. Burks, who was acquired by Philadelphia at the trade deadline, gave the Sixers the lead with a three-point play, then followed with a jumper for a 110-104 lead. Burks had 5 points in the overtime. He finished with 19.
I made a good opportunity. I'm just glad we all won. I think it was a great team.
Embiid had 39.
I'm telling my teammates, just get me the ball. And obviously, you know, we had Alec come in. He did a great job, knocked down a few shots. But that's the mindset I got to have. And I want my teammates to know that I'm going to be there.
Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. Those 39 points were a season high for Joel Embiid. The Cameroonian center also grabbed 16 rebounds for Philadelphia, which improved its record to 35 wins and 21 losses. The NBA's best record belongs to Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks won their 47th game of the season against 8 losses with a big road victory against the Detroit Pistons. And Giannis had another big game for the Bucks, as we hear now from the AP's Denny Kapp in Detroit.
Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton combined for 61 points as the Bucks blast the Pistons 126-106. Antetokounmpo tallied a game-high 33 points and 16 rebounds in his return from a two-game absence following the birth of his child.
My mom and my girlfriend put him in front of the TV so he can watch the game, but he's not really watching the game. But just being able to get a few pictures of him before the game, that makes me you know, really happy, and it makes my job out there a lot easier.
Chris Middleton tacked on 28 to help the Bucks take a 29-point lead into the half and improve to a league-best 47-8. Christian Wood had 18 to face a Pistons team that fell for the 11th time in its last 13 games. Denny Kapp, Detroit.
Thanks, Denny. In other NBA results Thursday night, Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks spread their wings and soared past the host Miami Heat 129-124. The 21-year-old Young, a point guard for the Hawks, is fresh off his first All-Star game appearance. And Trae showed his All-Star selection was no fluke. He fired in a career-high 50 points in that victory against Miami. In more results, the Charlotte Hornets beat the Chicago Bulls 103-93. That game was played in Chicago, also the venue for the recent NBA All-Star contest. And in two more games Thursday night, the host Sacramento Kings beat the Memphis Grizzlies 129-125, and the Houston Rockets trounced the host Golden State Warriors 135-105. James Harden, the NBA's leading scorer, had 29 points and 10 assists for the Rockets. The countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 154 days away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. The 70-year-old kendo master Shigeru Aoki will be a torchbearer in the 2020 Tokyo Games, more than 50 years after he witnessed the last Tokyo Olympics relay in 1964. Reuters reporter Gloria So tells us more.
Armed with a bamboo sword and cloaked in long black armor, a teacher faces his students in intense combat. This is the Japanese sport of kendo, and 70-year-old Shigeru Aoki is a master. And when he carries the Olympic torch this year, he'll be representing his district in Fukuoka City, as well as a martial art that's defined his whole life. Aoki has worn kendo's trademark mask with its menacing metal bars since he was 11 years old. Kendo has been practiced in Japan for centuries. It's demanding and takes both physical vigor and pure patience. Aoki kept up his training upon joining the police force, where kendo is part of the curriculum. He went on to train future generations in the sport for over four decades. But underneath all the gear is a less imposing figure. Aoki has wispy silver hair and a calm smile. One might not guess that he's one of the most skilled kendo masters in the country. In order to earn his eighth dan, or degree in English, Aoki passed an exam that 99% of kendo masters fail.
When I passed the test, it was like I was walking on clouds. It was a feeling I can't describe. I was beyond happiness. All the hard work I'd put in paid off.
Yet despite having reached the highest ranks of his sport in his adult life, Aoki still remembers what it was like to be a young boy with no idea about all he would accomplish. He was only 14 when the Olympics were last in Tokyo, back in 1964.
When I was in the third year of middle school, the Olympics came to Tokyo, and the Olympic torchbearer came nearby, and everyone at my middle school walked there to watch the torch relay. That day, the teacher told us, "All of you will never see the Olympic torch ever again, so be sure to watch it closely." I remember that moment very well.
50 years later, not only will he see the torch again, he'll be bringing it back to Tokyo himself.
Thank you, Gloria. Reuters reporter Gloria So. And that wraps up the February 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer PJ Elliott. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossing, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. win prizes, and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews. Ooh. Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Ah. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.